You know, Joe mentioned an interesting word, disciple. I can't remember what the context that he used, but he mentioned disciple and discipleship. And those are two words that when you read the Bible, we see that there's just believers, there's the crowds that would fill the fields where Jesus spoke, but then there was the 12 disciples. Well, sometimes there was more. There was 70 and there was other numbers, but at the end, there was those 12 that became apostles. There was always a large group of people that loved Jesus, that loved to hear about Jesus, but there was a very select few that actually were willing to say, "Yes, Master, tell me what you want me to do next." And I believe as the church moves into the final stages of her existence on planet Earth, the representative body of Christ himself, that there's going to be an increasing mandate on her to become more focused on discipleship than just believing and attending and being part of the crowd. The crowd drifts away at the first sign of something that they don't like or understand. The disciples stay and say, "Please help me understand." And then Jesus always had the secret little explanation of the parable or the saying that he brought, but he reserved it for them, for the ones that wanted to hear more, that wanted to understand the deeper things of Christ. And it all comes down to obedience. Disciples are those who are obedient to the one who is discipling them. And I just want us to just be mindful of these things. That's not fun. That doesn't build big churches, but it impacts communities in a big way. When people begin to think that way, when they begin to think of others as more important than themselves. And it's just a depth of maturing, I think, the Lord's calling us to, especially as leaders. We are the first to partake of that reality, that he's calling all of us to a place of understanding the significance that it is to be a believer, to be a disciple on planet Earth in 2018. It's not just business as usual. You don't have to watch the news. I don't base my emotional barometer on what's happening and what the cameras are pointing at. That stuff's been going on for centuries, and it's going to keep going on until Jesus comes back, because evil has always been present on earth. Evil was in the garden when Adam and Eve were there and came and tempted them away from the God that had created them. And I want us to understand we ought never to be just thrown off of our faith and our commitment to Christ because of what happens in this world. There is a present evil age that we live in. It's been talked about. Jesus talked about it. And so how much more so as we see the day approaching? But there's a scripture I want to just try to be able to focus on this morning, since our time is short. And it has to do with the gospel, because one of the parts of the equipment that's talked about in Ephesians 6, where we've been hanging out, is this, is the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is what that part of Ephesians 6 talks about, it as something that you put on your feet. It gets you ready to move. And as you move, it protects the part of you that's making contact with the ground. It's the message that we carry. I don't think there's any point. The church doesn't have any greater mandate than to spread the message of the good news, which is what the gospel means. Gospel just means good news. There's no higher thing that we're called to do by Jesus, because he says this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Let's read it in Matthew 24, 14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The very culmination of history is going to happen when every eye has heard, every ear has heard, and every eye has seen a demonstration that Jesus loves this world through the message, the good news of the gospel, that Jesus came and dealt with the separation issue of our sin between us and the Father, between us as physical beings and the spiritual realm that we're going to go to when we pass from this life to the next. And so therefore, when we walk through this life, we're told to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's Ephesians 6:15, that our feet should always be ready to go, that our message should always be ready. There should always be an answer that we have to the people who are just throwing their hands up and saying, "This is hopeless, this is helpless, you're not safe anywhere, it doesn't matter where you go." There is, of course, that's true. No place you can go on this earth are you guaranteed safety, are you guaranteed that something bad's not going to happen. It's just the nature of living in this present evil age that we find ourselves in. But we're called to be a light. We're called to have a message of good news in the middle of everything that's bad that's still happening. It seems like it's a light in a dark place. It's the opposite of the course of this world. This message of the gospel of the kingdom that needs to be preached. It doesn't just need to be known about or read about. It says it's supposed to be preached. The gospel of the kingdom will be declared or preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end will come. I would just like to remind us this morning, there is an end that comes. This is not just, it doesn't just go on forever. There's a point for each of us individually that our time's up on this planet, but even more than that, there's a time when this planet's existence, the way it is going to be up. And that's when Jesus is coming back, but he's coming back after this message of the good news. And what is it about the message? I feel like we all know it. I love to preach the gospel, but I feel like we've all heard it. But there's something about reminding that we have to remember. We tend to forget. It's human to forget. Jesus told the disciples it was better that he would go away because the Holy Spirit was going to come and he was going to be their comforter. But the most important thing the Holy Spirit was going to do for humankind, even his disciples, was what? He was going to remind them of the words that Jesus had already declared to them. We need to be reminded. There's something about our human nature that we can know something and we can hear it once, but it doesn't mean we don't need to hear it again. And that's part of why it's important to gather together, to get into the Word, because, you know, sometimes a great song can remind us of how great our God is. Let me read something in Isaiah 52:7. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news," which means gospel, "who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." You know, sometimes we need to be reminded that our God reigns. The gospel is the reminder that God so loved the world that he had the authority within himself to send his own son to bridge the gap between us and himself. That our God reigns doesn't mean that he's just in control of everything. It means that he's sovereign over everything. It means that when we need help, we know where to look. When we need a savior, we know where to turn. When we need rescuing, we know where to turn. There's so many things that can remind us. Songs can remind us. A great message can remind us. The word itself can remind us. But the Holy Spirit is the primary source that we get reminded from when we're feeling a certain way, but we know that we need to override the way that we're feeling about whatever it is that we're going through. It's so important that we're not removing ourselves from the ability to be reminded of something, because it's funny, because if you try to tell a teenager, anybody I guess, but especially teenagers, as soon as you start down a path with something you're trying to tell them or teach them, as soon as they think they even have an inkling that you're probably going to say something that they already know, what do they tell you? "Oh, you already told me that. I already know that. Even with their friends, they're like, they try to, "Oh, did you see? I already know that. I already saw that. Did you hear that? I already heard that song." Yeah. It doesn't matter. "Yeah, I heard about that." There's this desire to always want to know, and I already heard that. So we don't want to hear it twice. But there's a ministry of reminding, and we can read through the New Testament and find this phrase many times. But the one I want to focus on is that the Holy Spirit and our need for him is so that he can remind us deep inside of who we actually are. That we still have a message of good news to proclaim, regardless, and actually especially because it's as dark out there as it is. It doesn't mean that there's no more room for the good news, because now it just means that the worse that it gets, the more need there is for good news. That Jesus loved us enough to come for us while we were his enemies, and to rescue us from the hell that we were bent towards, and to redeem us to the heaven that he's prepared for us. But I want to just say this. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 4:5. Because, I mean, today's a big sports day, right? For those that, or traditionally it has been. I know some people are tuning it off and stuff. It's just amazing. Our whole culture is just in this place of conflict. Like, even things we used to be able to enjoy as Westerners, we can't even, you know, enjoy them the way that we used to, because they're just being tainted and contaminated with political ideologies and just the discrepancies between the way 50% of our country thinks the other 50% should be. It's like right down the middle now. We're like constantly at odds. There's the two sides of America. It's been divided. It's not going to be divided. There's already a great divide happening, and it's important to be on the right side of that. It doesn't matter which side you're on. You need to be on the right side of that, but there's still a tragic effect that it has on every part of our lives, because it's division. A house divided can't stand. And so this is a limited season that we're in, where we're still somehow together, but without a move of God's Spirit, without a move of grace, without a move of God's love, this is not looking good. And I hope that you can feel that. And I hope that you're praying about that. And I hope that you're interceding even about that. Because the reality is there's this thing that we're supposed to accomplish. There's this message that needs to go forth to the uttermost parts of this earth so that Jesus comes back and the end is finished on this evil age. But there's just this reminder that I think we need to hear about this morning. And I want to just read it as we finish this message. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:5, because when we think about sports, if you want to turn there, you can. If not, just listen. When you think about sports, we don't use the right language. And this is what I'm going to point out when we read this text. Let's say it's the sixth inning, right? A team is up, a team is down. What do we say about the team that has more runs than the team that has less runs? We say they're winning. They're not. The team that has less runs, we say, well, they're losing. No, they're not. They're not. Psychologically, they can begin to feel that way. And if you watch teams, often they get a lead and they feel like they're winning. And so they lose their edge and their guard goes down because they felt like just because they're ahead, they're winning. Winning and losing, that happens at the moment when the time of the contest is up. That's when you can look at the scoreboard is not an indicator of who's winning or losing. It's an indicator of who's ahead and who's behind. Someone that's a lap behind in a NASCAR and they're like a full lap out in front, they're not winning. They're just ahead. Until the checkered flag comes out, winning isn't even on the table. It's not even part of the, it shouldn't even be part of the discussion. We know that Jesus wins this thing. Do you know that the good news means, the reason it's good news is because we know Jesus already won it. He already went in the grave, fully dead, fully buried, and came out fully alive by the Spirit of God. Do we understand that's the power that raises us into new creation miracles? That the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and if he does, he'll quicken this mortal body that we now have. This is the promise of the good news, but we have to break free of this thing of feeling like we're winning or we're losing. We're not winning or losing. We already won, and the time's not up yet. There's still time for us to accomplish what needs to happen, so it doesn't matter if we're behind. If we're behind, we're not losing. We're just behind. We've just got some catching up to do, because winning and losing has to do with a measurement that happens when the event is over and when the time's up and the buzzer goes off. That's when winning and losing should be starting to be talked about. But as believers, we've got to realize just because maybe things don't look great right now, we might feel like we're behind in whatever the situation of our life is. We can't say that we're losing because none of us are losing. We know that we win in the end. So no matter where we find ourselves now, the fact that the word of losing has nothing to do with the fact of where we are. We just might be behind for a minute. We might have some catching up to do. We might have some interceding to do. We might have some humility. We might have some tears to cry. We might have some forgiveness to offer. We might have some repentance to bring to the table. But we are not losing. We just might need to adjust our step and to focus again on where we need to go, because we win in the end. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's because he won, we win too. We're not losing, and we're not losers, and we're not falling farther behind. We're simply at a state, as no matter where you're at in your personal faith, it's not over until it's over. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says this, therefore judge nothing before the time. As soon as you say, oh, I'm losing, you're judging before the time. It's not time to judge winning or losing yet. It's time to just finish the course. It's time to press on, forget what's behind, and move to the goal. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Listen, I just feel like I want to end on that point. Don't measure and judge where we're at and call it winning or losing. We already win because of Jesus. The good news that we need to have on our lips to the people that are hurting and broken and trying to process the evil that they keep seeing manifest itself in our culture, in our nation itself even, they need to hear a message that it's not over until it's over. There will be a day when it's over, but until then, we're going to proclaim the gospel of peace. We're going to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the Savior, that he still loves people the same way that he did, especially because we were once his enemies. Now we've been made right with him. How much more does he care for us now? Every single believer is a winner from the moment that you believed in Jesus Christ, because he makes us more than conquerors. And we've got to pray as if we've already won. We've got to intercede as if, yes, there's a contest on for these things. There's going to be resistance when we try to bring this gospel to people. It's going to cost money. It's going to cost resource to put people in fields where they're part of a team that's building and proclaiming a off of a platform the gospel and the good news of Jesus. Yes, it's going to cost something, but it's not like we should look at the stuff that's going wrong in this world and say, well, it just seems like it's too late anyway. It's only too late if we let it be too late. Because Jesus says through the Apostle Paul, judge nothing before the time. There's still time. Let's just stand together. I pray that this short word this morning is just something to stir us up, that we be reminded of who Jesus is. Father, by your Spirit this morning, we just thank you that we are more than conquerors through what Jesus has done. And our faith in him and in his victory on the cross is all that we need to be able to walk in the same victory that he walks in. Father, I pray by your Spirit this morning that you continue to remind us that we can make a difference. That even though it's dark and it feels hopeless out there, it's not hopeless because you are the hope of glory. And you now live within us by the same Spirit that brought Jesus out of that grave. So Lord, I pray for a fresh courage. I pray for a sense of power and significance and ability that wouldn't come from our flesh, but it would come from you, Holy Spirit. That when you remind us of the fact that we were once your enemies, but Jesus came and redeemed us from the curse and gave us the promise of everlasting life, that Lord, we can begin now to not just look at heaven as the place where we're going to go to someday, but we can look at heaven as the place that we are now here on earth from. Living backwards, ambassadors, Lord, of a message, protectors and guardians of a message that still has the power to transform the human existence. Lord, the light of your gospel, let it shine from this church, let it shine from the individuals in this season, Lord God. It's just getting colder outside. Let there be a wave of your Spirit that just continues week in and week after week and day after day, and just to keep refreshing us and reminding us that we're your chosen ones. It's you selected us to fulfill your will in this generation, in this location. In Jesus' name, amen.